You are listening to an online message from Limbrookwood Baptist Church. For more messages, upcoming events and weekly activities, please visit www.lwbc.org.uk. You can also follow us on Facebook and Twitter by searching Limbrookwood BC. Thank you for tuning in.
I don't know how your week's been. I've had a bit of an interesting week. Been helping put a kitchen in, and it's been lots of fun out the back to get that ready. And all the time I was thinking, Lord, what do you want to say to these good people on Sunday? And I've had plenty of time to think as I've been trying to crack up taps and plumbing bits and cut bits of wood and everything else. And I caught an email earlier in the week, and it really just got me thinking. I was like, okay, Rob, what do you want to say? And I was up at the crack of dawn this morning, and normally I've got my message written well before Sunday. I was up at the crack of dawn this morning saying, Lord, what is it that you want to say? Now, our series that we're in is called Reflections. We're in the book of Hosea, and we've been going through that. This is actually our eighth week, believe it or not. So we had 2 weeks of an overview of what was the story of Hosea, and then we've had a number of reflections. And one of the things I really felt that God wanted us to do was to come to a place where we can just sit for a moment at his feet. We are going to break bread later. And when we break bread, we are called in 1 Corinthians 11:28 to examine ourselves. But what does that actually mean? And I think hopefully part of what we're doing here this morning is we're coming before a holy God, and we want to line ourselves up with that. That's our example. So part of breaking bread and recognizing all of that is to give ourselves a little bit of a heart checkup. It's not about coming here to be perfect. Nobody's going to be able to attain that. But actually, it is about saying, is my heart in the right place? So I want us to have a heart checkup this morning. Before we take communion, it does actually say you should be a follower of Jesus Christ, which is kind of a minimum entry level, really, on this one. But actually, a little bit more than that, are we living at peace with each other as much as we can? Are we entering into that community that Christ has called us to be? So I was saying, I was preparing the message, and one of my friends had he'd sent an email around, and he said, I went to a church service the other week, and he said, and there was a message that was there, but there was just that real sense that we needed a time to pause. And he said, and the preacher was kind enough to give us 10 minutes just to sit and think for a moment, what is it that God wants to say? So part of what I want to do later on, and we have a little bit of reflection this morning, our reflection is on redemption this morning, but actually I want us to give us plenty of time to reflect. We're going to approach the communion table, and I want us not to do that in a hurried way. As we were praying out the back earlier, I thought we got half an hour for prayer. And I thought, isn't that fantastic? Half an hour to pray before the service. I'm sure folk aren't going to mind if we say, well, let's take 5 or 10 minutes just to sit quietly before God and really see what he wants to say. So that's going to be what we're going to do at some point towards the end of the message. It's not a long message this morning, but that's where we're heading. So as I'm just bringing what I feel God has said, ask God, what is it that you want to say to me this morning? Let's not be little children here and go, oh, I've got to sit for 10 minutes and no one's talking to me. Let's have that moment where we go, oh, I've got 10 minutes before God. Where do I normally get 10 minutes? It could be longer. So, our reflection is called redemption. There's no PowerPoint, so Morris doesn't have to worry about that. I'll put some words up a little bit later on. But redemption, it's not a word we use every day, is it? When did you last use the word redemption? Any thoughts what it means? Go on, there's somebody brave. Brought back? Say again. Forgiveness? You dropped the R. Bought back. Any other offerings? Paid for. It's all good. I looked in Baker's Dictionary, good online Bible dictionary. It says, finding its context in the social, legal, and religious customs of the ancient world, the metaphor of redemption includes the ideas of, and you've all been right on this, loosing from a bond, setting free from captivity or slavery, buying back something lost or sold, exchanging something in one's possession for something possessed by another, and ransoming. So there's quite a lot in there, but if you want to get right back into the very root of it, buy back, bought back, that's kind of where we're at. So it obviously fits really well with the story of Hosea. Who's familiar with the story of Hosea now? All of you. Not apart from Adrian. There we go. Hosea. What was the story? Hosea, right at the beginning, is told, in obedience, go and take yourself a wife who is going to be unfaithful. Hosea knew what he was getting into. We know the story. He got married. She was unfaithful, as God said she would be. She bore him 3 children. We're not sure if they're all his or not. Listen to messages weeks 1 and 2 if you want to go and find out a bit more about that. She thought she was having the good life. She's left this for all the riches, all the treasures. It's all going to be rosy. And actually, where does she end up? She ends up in the slave marketplace. Didn't work out for her as well as she thought it was going to do. And all the while, her husband had his eye on her. All the good things she'd had, he had provided for her. And now here she is in the slave market, and he literally goes and buys her back. That's the story of Hosea, the first 3 chapters in a nutshell. He buys her back. He pays a slave's ransom for her, or a slave's price. Does he buy her back as a slave? No. He buys her back and she is his wife, equal with him. Now that's a beautiful story of redemption, isn't it? And obviously we need to work out where we are, in a sense, in that story. And I think one of the things I want us all to go away with, I know we've used this in a message before, but it keeps coming round and round again. I think we need to understand whose we are. Not who we are, but whose we are. I think once we understand that, then everything starts to fall into place. So if you pick up your Bibles and you have a look, you don't get too far in, 27 verses, and you find out whose you are. It says Genesis 1:27. If you like highlighting your Bible, this is definitely one of those verses to highlight. Whose are we? We are made in the image of God. And it says, so God created man in his own image. The image of God, he created him. Male and female together, he created them. That's whose we are. We are God's possession. He created us. Just think, capture that for a moment. If you haven't caught that, because I think sometimes I can rush over this stuff. We are God's. He created us. He was the very first one to love us. Just think about that for a moment. He was the very first one to love us. And when he created us, he desired good things. Adam and Eve walked with him in the garden, in the noonday sun. I don't know about you, but that picture of that for me, I think in pictures. I can almost feel the heat of the garden now, maybe that humidity. You know, when you've got off the aeroplane on holiday and you kind of go, whoa, it's so different to the UK. And there, walking with God, and just imagine all those smells, and oh, it had just been amazing. And he loved us, and he desired good things for us, and desires still good things for us. Not a health and wealth message this morning. Don't think I'm going down that route. We know we live in a fallen and broken world, but we are his special creation. The trouble is, the world generally, and probably even more so today, has chosen to ignore him. We have gone our own way. And as that song says, Come Now Fount of Every Blessing, it says, daily, I've got to tie myself to you, God. Because if I don't daily, with my active will in my head, go, God, I am for you, I am naturally going to go the other way. I'm naturally going to go the other way. It was one of our very first reflections here in Hosea. One of our biggest enemies, we forget God. And like I said before, we don't say, Darren, I don't forget God. What a silly thing to say. Oh, I've got this real problem at the moment. Oh, daddy, 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 da. Problem, problem, problem. What shall I do? What shall I do? Oh, God. That's right. After you've done everything else. And we do forget God. It's just our natural bent is away from God. We need to make a choice to follow him. Our reflection this morning is redemption. There was a story when I said it was redemption this week. Nikki said to me, "Oh, there's a story I heard when I was a child," she said, and it's stuck in my mind forever. So if you can't remember Hosea, I'm going to give you another little story this morning. And this is one that Nikki remembered, like I say, right from a child, and we found a slightly different version, but this is really good. The story is of a little boy who built a sailboat. Has anybody heard this? Okay. He built it, he put a sail on it, he had it all fixed up, it was tarred and painted. Who last tarred the bottom of a boat to go sailing, eh? This is quite an old story, this one, isn't it? Tarred and painted this boat. He took it to the lake and pushed it in, hoping it would sail. Sure enough, a wisp of a breeze filled the little sail, and it billowed and went rippling along the waves. Who's built a little boat and had that pleasure? Oh, you haven't lived. Bit of polystyrene, couple of sticks, carrier bag. Doesn't need to be rocket science. But suddenly, before the little boy knew it, the boat was out of his reach. Even though he waded in fast and tried to grab it, as he watched it float away, he hoped maybe the breeze would shift and it would sail back to him. Instead, he watched it go further and further and further until it was gone. Poor little lad went home crying. His mother asked, "What's wrong? Didn't it work?" And he said, "Oh yeah, it worked way too well. It's long gone." Now, sometime later, this little boy was down the town and he walked past a secondhand store. There in the window, what did he see? His boat. It was unmistakably his, so he went in and said to the owner, "That's my boat." He walked to the window, picked it up and started to leave with it. But the owner of the shop said, "Hey, wait a minute, Sonny, that's my boat. I bought it from someone." And the boy said, no, it's my boat. I made it. See?" And he showed him the little scratches and the marks where it hammered and filed. The man said, "I'm sorry, boy. If you want it, you have to buy it." Well, the poor little guy didn't have any money. But he worked hard and he saved his pennies. Finally, one day, he had enough money. He went in and bought the little boat. As he left the store holding the boat close to him, he was heard saying these words, "You're my boat. You're twice my boat. Because you're my boat, first, because I made you, and second, you're my boat because I bought you." Oh. That's great, isn't it? You're my boat twice. First, because I made you, and second, because I bought you. Of course, where are we in that story? We're the boat. God's the little boy. Scripture tells us that God first loved us. Remember when I said God created you? Who was the first to love you? God was the first to love you. 1 John 4, verses 17 to 19 says, "Love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us." You know, when God comes to give us life and life abundant to set us free, it should cast out all fear. It should cast out all doubt. Once we know whose we are, that should give us such a lift in our spirits. But sometimes we get a bit tired and worn out, don't we? And that's what today is going to be about. We've got plenty of time to reflect this morning. God first loved us. The second part is, having made us, he bought us back. Of course, he didn't just save up some pennies for us. Sparrows are bought for pennies, aren't they? Yeah. God paid a price for us in full. And what price is this? It's the gospel in a nutshell, isn't it? All have fallen short of the glory of God. None of us are perfect. We said it in previous weeks that if we stood before the judge and the whole of our lives was like a movie that was being played for everybody to see, there'd be quite a few moments in there, I'm sure a few of us would go, I'd really rather people didn't see those. We've not hit the standard of perfection, and therefore we've fallen short. That falling short, archery term, we've said it before, if you miss the target, that's a sin. We've fallen short of the glory of God. But God is right and fair and just, and he has to pass a sentence on that falling short, doesn't he? Otherwise, he's not a right and fair and proper judge. What's the sentence? What's the punishment for our wrongdoing? 1 John 3:8 says, the one who does what is sinful is of the devil, because the devil has been sinning since from the beginning. The reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the devil's work. Amen to that. However, Romans 6:23 says, for the wages of sin, what's our payment for doing things wrong, falling short, turning away from God? The wages of sin is death. There's a little comma, and then it says, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. The second half of the passage says it's a free gift. What's the gift? It's really simple. What does the Bible say? If you look it up yourself, another verse, if you want to draw in your Bibles again this morning, Romans 10:8-9. Romans 10:8-9. Beautiful words. What does the Bible say? It says, the word is near you. Romans 10:8-9. The word is near you. It is in your mouth and in your heart. That is the message concerning faith that we proclaim. Here it is in verse 9. If you declare with your mouth, Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Amen. I mean, it is just good news, isn't it? Christ has paid the price in full, a price that cost him his life. But go back to that little story with the boat. God can say, you are my child, twice. Firstly, because he made us. And secondly, because he bought us back. He bought us back. And this is where we're going to start to move towards a reflection. I don't want to go much deeper than that this morning. I just want you to capture that for a moment. Because I think sometimes there's a moment you just got to just catch it. It makes the hairs on my arms stand up. God bought me back. I'm made in his image. I'm his. I'm precious to him. And he's brought me back. And we just need to sit in that this morning. So before we take communion, before we bring the communion out, I want us to genuinely take a good 5, even 10 minutes if we have to, and sit and just think. Just wait on God. Not to be little children and say, I want everything on a plate before me. Perform that heart checkup. We might get 30 seconds normally before the communion, but I want us to take a bit longer. What is weighing you down? What are those burdens that you need to give to God? It might be recent weeks, it might be recent years, but ask the Holy Spirit, come, tell me where you want to bring that healing this morning. I will put some words up on the screen, so if you hit that PowerPoint for me, that should play. These are the reflections from previous weeks. And some of that might just help you remember. Remember the stone that you got. What's your new name? Remembering God. reflecting, what are those root things that just you keep finding yourself doing that you need to give to God? What would life be like without God? They're going to keep going round. Yada, it's not enough to know. It's not just enough to know. God loves you. Twice. I want to close your eyes and just reflect for a moment, and then we'll break bread.
You are listening to an online message from Limbrook Wood Baptist Church. For more messages, upcoming events, and weekly activities, please visit www.lwbc.org.uk. You can also follow us on Facebook and Twitter by searching Limbrook Wood BC. Thank you for tuning in.